Lord. Amen. It's good to be here. I like those old songs. Amen. I think I could probably sing those old gospel songs all day. I love the old time gospel hymns. Amen. We try to balance them in, put them in here. Amen. We try to do some new songs and some old songs. Some of the new songs are good. I say some of them are good. All the old songs are good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Brother Greeley did get called yesterday to go and help Brother Nate Greeley in Bristol. Amen. And I don't know if there's anybody on earth that I'd rather help than my son. Praise the Lord. So I understand. Praise God. But it's good. We had already planned for me to preach today. Amen. And God is going to have His way. I honor our pastor. Praise the Lord. Our pastor is a wonderful example of a Christian. Amen. And that's, I think, the highest compliment that anyone can receive is he's a Christian. Praise the Lord. For you guests here today, I can't wait for you to meet Pastor Tom Greeley. He's a great man. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to go to the Word of the Lord today in Matthew chapter 11. I'll read a few verses and then you can be seated. Praise God. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." I mean, a lot of us would stop reading right there. Okay, he's going to give me rest. We're going to keep reading. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Amen. Can we pray this morning? God, we ask you, Jesus, to have your hand upon us. Lord Jesus, your word is already anointed. Lord, it's the vessel, Lord, that we want to be a vessel of honor to receive your word, God. Lord, to teach your word, to preach your word, Lord, and to receive it, oh God. Have it be planted in our hearts and minds. Lord, help it to compel us, Lord Jesus. Lord, to take your yoke, to take your burden, oh God. Amen. And be part, Lord, in fulfilling the purpose, God, that you have for our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. Hallelujah. So there is this sort of bargain, I'd say, a promise that Jesus makes for us to have rest here in this passage. But at the same time, he says that there's an exchange that occurs. He's giving you rest, but you are taking something. You're taking a yoke. You're taking a burden. And that's really the only way for this to work. So today, I want to talk about how that we do lay aside every weight and the sin. We lay aside burdens. We cast our cares upon Him. Amen. But those things kept us from the path of the Lord. And when we do that, we do feel a freedom. You feel that weight lifted. I remember as a very young person, I was 7 years old. I was baptized in Jesus' name, and I felt weightless. I felt so light. I remember when my burdens rolled away, is what the old song says. I remember when my burdens rolled away. Hallelujah. However, we see this freedom, but freedom is not a license to do whatever we want. There's a burden that comes. We receive this yoke from the Lord. We receive a burden from the Lord. And that burden is not to keep you trapped. That burden is to keep you grounded and rooted in Him. We're loosed from the yoke of bondage. We're loosed from the burden of sin. But it's to be used for His greater purpose. His greater purpose. And Jesus, of course, He is our burden bearer. Isaiah 53 says he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. But when we are filled with the Spirit of God, we come into rest. We're also filled with His purpose. And His purpose is always contrary to the flesh. A lot of times Jesus would lose the whole crowd. And I don't want to lose you today right at the beginning by saying, yes, there is a yoke. Yes, there is a burden that's involved with serving the Lord. Amen. It's true. His purposes are always contrary to the flesh. Always. I couldn't think of one scenario where Jesus required something of me where I did not have to sacrifice my own intentions, my own will, and come under the authority of His will and His purpose. It's a burden. It's a yoke. Praise the Lord. But it should be a pleasure to serve Him. It should be a joy to serve in the house of the Lord. Amen. And it is. It really is. But you know, we do find, we struggle. Sometimes we struggle to find His will, His purpose. Amen. And we see, even when we do see what God wants us to do, sometimes we don't know the direction to go. We don't know how to perform what He requires. And I'm not here to really preach this morning. I'm here to remind us that God has put a purpose in our life. Amen. Don't try to come out from under the purpose of God for your life. Because if you try that, you might get hurt. You might struggle. You might have a hard time serving. You will have a hard time serving the Lord. I'll make it even stronger. Praise God. For example, Jesus says that all who follow, and I didn't give you this verse, Brother Tim, but Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if you want to pull that up. All who follow Jesus are required to take up His cross, to take up a cross daily. Luke 9, 23 says, and He said to them all. He said to some of them, nope. He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. This is the starter. This is where we begin. We begin by taking up the cross. And I know that the cross is contrary to the flesh. The cross is contrary to your own will. The cross requires sacrifice. Amen. But God told me to preach the burden. Preach the burden. There's a beauty in the burden of God. There's something pleasant about coming under the yoke of God and seeing God move in and through you. Praise the Lord. Our convictions help us to stand. But the yoke helps us to move forward. Without a vision, the people will perish. But without a burden from the Lord, the vision won't come to pass. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. We have a vision here for this church that God has given to our pastor. But without people like you coming and saying, what can I do, Lord? What can I do to help this vision come to pass? That vision will never come to fruition. Hallelujah. And we don't always want the yoke. We don't always want the burden. But look at Jesus' promise here. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. I think that makes a comparison with the yoke of sin and the burden of sin, that the yoke of bondage and the burden of sin that we used to live under. When we yielded ourselves, when we yielded our members to be servants of sin, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were lost and without direction. Amen. I would rather have the yoke of Jesus in my life and the burden of Jesus in my life any day of the week than to ever go under the yoke and burden of sin anymore. Hallelujah. I'm glad that He set me free from sin. I'm thankful to God. I'm so grateful to God that He has done a great, powerful work in my life. Amen. He required something of me. He gave me a purpose when I did not have a purpose. Amen. He gave me strength when I did not have strength to carry. Amen. He's with me at all times. He never will leave me or forsake me. Amen. When I felt like I was rejected out in the world, sin in my life, couldn't find any purpose without direction, praise the Lord. He came to me. And He said, I invite you to come. I invite you to come. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's so good. Let's just thank God right now. Oh God, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for all You've done. Hallelujah. We're so grateful for all You've given us, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. We with pleasure take, Lord God, the yoke upon us and the burden, Lord Jesus, that You have imparted to us, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we praise You, Jesus. Amen, amen. There's an amazing parallel found in the book of Jeremiah of when God required Israel to come under a yoke. Even when they refused to believe that it was for their benefit. I love this story because it kind of just stands out in the book of Jeremiah. There's so many prophecies and you're going through all these prophecies and history and all of this. But there's this story that just stands out and you start to get the detail. And it makes the book of Jeremiah quite exciting to read because there's so much intrigue and mystery. Amen. It's an amazing story. But to set the stage, Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And Israel was a proud nation that had seen many times of great wealth and success. They'd seen kings like David and Solomon and Josiah and Hezekiah, these great kings that did great things, won so many victories, and you have to remember that every time there was trouble in Israel, the kings and the prophets, they were able to turn to God for help. And God saved them so many times. In fact, He invited them so many times. Just turn to Me. Just return. In fact, the word return is also translated in Hebrew as the word repent. So when you go through and read those Old Testament scriptures, think, when it says, return unto Me, God is saying, repent, come to Me. Amen. Get back on the path, Israel. But God had saved them so many times. And Israel was also a very sinful nation. They had been extended mercy so many times. But they were now, in the book of Jeremiah, in the darkest times that they'd ever, the most uncertain times that they'd ever been in. And the kingdom was divided on top of that. So they were not at full strength and they were not at unity. And it was so bad that no matter what Jeremiah said at this point, they probably wouldn't take it the right way. Even if it was from God, the people were not going to listen to what Jeremiah... I've had the displeasure of having to be in this situation where somebody's gone too far in their life, and I have to even just tell them, like, even now, if you'll just return to the Lord, even now, if you'll just put one step in front of the other. And so many times people take that as like, what, you're being judgmental. At that point they're thinking, this is just judgmental, this is just awful, why is this pastor telling me this stuff? And so this is where Jeremiah was. He had the extreme displeasure of giving probably the most unpopular prophecy in Scripture. And Israel was past the point of no return, unfortunately. So here's the story. Jeremiah 27:1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck. I mean, can you imagine? We believe in prophecy here in the church. Amen. We believe prophets are part of the fivefold ministry. But I've never seen a prophet go and make some yoke of wood and put it upon his neck and come into the church and say, God told me to live like this. He told me to sleep like this. He told me to everywhere go eat dinner like this. I mean, so you can imagine Jeremiah looks pretty awkward already because God's telling him, put bonds, handcuff yourself in essence, and put a yoke upon your neck. It sounds ridiculous, but this is the way God wanted to get this across to his people. And even then, they would not hear. God prefaces this prophetic word through Jeremiah by saying that he says, before I say what I'm going to say, I want you to know that I own it all. And that God is the one who granted the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the authority. Nebuchadnezzar, the emperor, the king of Babylon, is known as the most powerful human on the planet at that time. And he's over the Babylonian Empire. But God tells Jeremiah, he is my servant. Look at verse 5, Jeremiah 27:5. He says, I have made the earth, the man and the beast of the that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm. And I have given it to whom it seemed meet unto me. In other words, I'm in control. I want you to know this before I say what I'm going to say. I'm in control. And now I have given these lands unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. So Nebuchadnezzar, most powerful man on earth, he's got kings and dominions under him. Kings swear allegiance to him. They pay homage to him. They come to him begging. And God says, he's my servant. He's under my thumb. And a warning goes forth from Jeremiah. A warning to any nation that will not go under the yoke of Babylon. And he says, any nation that tries to resist Nebuchadnezzar will be destroyed. Look at verse 8. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Look at that. That's unpopular. Remember who Israel was. They had resisted so many times oppression that would come upon them. And God would help them at the last moment and they would be free. But this time, God says, nope, you're going to go under the yoke of Babylon or you're going to be destroyed. And he even warns them, your prophets, they're going to lie to you. They're going to tell you to resist the yoke. But they're lying, and I did not send them. I mean, so many times we hear prophecy, and this is probably a sidebar I shouldn't go down. I'll just say that. So many times we hear prophecy, and it's always all good. It's always all pleasant. It's always all pleasing to the ears. But when God gives instruction, we say, oh, he wasn't talking to me about that. God will give you direction sometimes that doesn't make sense. He will sometimes bring you under a yoke and under a burden that you do not want. But if you resist the Lord, I'm telling you, your life will be just so unpleasant. Just do what the Lord says. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. He says, just submit. God tells the people, just submit. If you bring your neck under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, I will preserve you and you will be able to stay in the land. Look at verse 11, Jeremiah 27:11. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Wow. Why? God is even pleading with, why will you die? Why will you resist? Amen. And so then, even as foretold, the people, of course, the prophets, they didn't like what Jeremiah said either. And so they came and they began to give false prophecy. And so, just as foretold, God told them twice, do not listen to your prophets. Do not listen to your soothsayers. Do not listen to those that would come and tell you to do something else. I've already confirmed my word. He confirmed it three times by three different prophets. This is what's going to happen. You need to do what I tell you to do. But the Hananiah, the false prophet, he was recognized as a prophet in good standing with God. But he stands in the house of God and tells the people, nope, it's Jeremiah that gave the false prophecy. He's the one that gave the false alarm. I just think this is so interesting because Jeremiah is, here he is, he's giving the word of God as it's been given to him by God's Spirit, and there's resistance coming in the house of the Lord. In the house of God, even. Jeremiah 28, verse 1. And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azar, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all of the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. And even Jeremiah wanted that to be true. Verse 5, then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Jeremiah loved the people. Jeremiah loved that God had given them that home, that place. God was trying to use Jeremiah there. And even Jeremiah didn't want what his own prophecy. It's a yoke, it's a burden that Jeremiah had that he didn't even want it to be true. But then Hananiah removes the yoke from the neck of Jeremiah and breaks it. In verse 10, then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of two full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. They just dismissed service. Jeremiah's leaving. But God still had a hold of Jeremiah's heart. And God rebukes Hananiah. And he promises, you have broken the yokes of wood, but now you shall make yokes of iron you won't be able to break. And further, your days are numbered. Hananiah, within 2 months, you're going to be dead. God didn't play around. He did not want His people to be destroyed. He did not want them to resist Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Because if they resisted, Nebuchadnezzar would just plow them over. Nebuchadnezzar would utterly destroy them. So God gave the people the commandment, come under the yoke. Verse 12. Actually, let's jump down to the next chapter. Next chapter in chapter 29, Jeremiah sends letters to the exiles, and he receives a response from yet another false prophet that is going around discrediting Jeremiah. Wow. Shemaiah, the Nephilimite, tried to come against Jeremiah's prophecy, and God said, your seed will be cut off. Do not resist the word of the Lord. Do not resist the yoke of Babylon. It was a yoke that they did not want. And so oftentimes, and I know this is just practical, and I know this isn't some hyped up spiritual, and I know that I've read a lot of scripture. I understand all of that. But I just plead with you today, come to Jesus and take His yoke upon you. Amen. Do not resist the Lord. The Lord knows your end of days. He knows your future. He knows how to get and fulfill His plan in your life. If you have just come under His direction, He wants to teach you how to get there. He wants to teach you exactly what to do to get where you're going. Amen? In eternity, we will be with Him. And these yokes, these burdens that He gives us in this life, they'll be like nothing. Praise the Lord. It's all worth it. Following God's Word. Being in love with God's Word. Coming under a burden of the Holy Ghost. It's worth it all. Hallelujah. When we see Jesus face to face, all these troubles will pass away. Every single thing. Just keep on moving. Just keep on pushing forward under the yoke. It's easy. It's easy. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, if a burden is positioned properly, it's easy to carry around all day. When you go hiking, backpacking, which I don't do too often. I used to a lot when I was a young person. I probably should do it a lot more now. There's just nothing like the Rocky Mountains. There's nothing like the Sierra Nevada Mountains. For you from California, you know. You come out here and you're like, look at these little hills. It's real. It's real. It's so beautiful. The Tetons and the Rocky Mountains. We used to go hiking. And there was a couple of hikes where I didn't know what I was doing. And so as I started out, I had my backpack on and I'm going. And my father noticed that I was struggling with that load. He said, Darren, come here. Look, these straps need to get pulled up a little bit more. This backpack, there's a waist belt. You got to strap all of that on. And once that weight was adjusted, once it was properly positioned on my back, I walked all day long. We did 17-mile hikes. We did 11-mile hikes. And I could walk that whole time, no problem, because the weight was positioned properly on my back. Jesus wants to teach you how to carry the burden. He wants to teach you how to carry the load so that you can do it all day and it will be joyful to you. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. One more passage here in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he's known, again, I told you, the weeping prophet. He faced ridicule, questioning, assassination attempts, imprisonment. He said, all that's in the Bible? Yes. Young people, read the Bible. Amen. It's the most exciting book you will ever read. It's the best story you have ever heard. Praise the Lord. Hands down. imprisonment. They throw him in jail, and the assassin tries to kill him while he's in jail. And he did it all for the word of the Lord. All for that burden that was upon him. All for that yoke that was upon him. All because of truth. And Jeremiah had God's burden. The day came that Jeremiah was released to prophesy that the Lord would break the yoke and no longer be the servants to the empire of Babylon, and they would serve the Lord. Jeremiah 38, chapter 30, verse 8. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord. This is when the clouds break. Saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return. Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Sounds like what Jesus said. Come to me, you'll find rest. Return to me, you'll find rest. Yes, I'm going to break this yoke off of your neck, but you're going to serve me. I'm going to break off the yoke of sin and those things that make you a slave. But you will return to me and serve me. Hallelujah. I'd rather be a servant in the master's house, amen, than to serve sin and be destroyed. Hallelujah. Lord, help me to serve you, Lord, with gladness, with joy, Lord God. Amen. With thanksgiving, Lord Jesus. I want to come into your house every day, Lord God, with joy, Lord Jesus. Every time the doors are open, oh God, I want to be here to serve you, Lord God. Oh, I want to praise you. I want to worship you, oh God. I want to feel your presence, Lord Jesus. But God, I don't want to do nothing. I want to have a purpose, Lord, in my life. Hallelujah. Come on, if that's your prayer, why don't you lift up your hands right now? God, give me a burden. Give me a burden, Lord Jesus. Oh, give it to me with joy, Lord God. Give it to me with patience, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Teach me to carry, hallelujah, the load. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's over 10 places in Scripture that speak of God breaking, amen, the burdens or bearing our burdens. And you don't have the strength to carry the burden of sin, I tell you that. Nobody can handle sin and come out unscathed. You may think you have a handle on it. You may think, oh, nobody knows, or you may think I can take care of this. I can do it all by myself. But if you have sin in your life, you're going to be out of balance. And if you lost your balance, which you will eventually, that will lead you to an injury. An injury at best and destruction at worst. Hebrews 12:1 says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're told that in this race we call living for God, we are to lay aside every weight. Every weight. And let the burden that Jesus gives us remain. Serve the Lord. Follow the Lord. Seek the Lord. Watch the Lord. Pray to the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Amen. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You're not strong enough even to carry the burdens of life without his help. Amen. What are you going to do when something devastating happens in your life and in your family? Who are you going to turn to when you don't have enough money to pay the bills? Who are you going to call on when you get a diagnosis that the doctors can't do anything about? What are you going to do? Call on Jesus. Look to Jesus. Amen. Cast your cares upon Jesus. Praise the Lord. I'm pretty big and strong. I could probably do more than most. Used to have to move these big wire reels, and I could do it pretty easily. But there are times, even in the past year, that I have felt so weak and powerless to face the challenges that life brought my way. I couldn't do anything about it. I had to put them in God's hands. And we sing about, since I laid my burdens down. We say, He will carry you. Amen. Of course, we're speaking of sin and of our own cares. We truly have to put our trust in Jesus. He is our burden bearer. Amen. And He'll keep that burden of sin off of your life. Amen. But to do it right, there's an exchange I told you about. Yeah, the burdens of sin go away. But the burden of the Lord comes into your life. You've got to get a burden. You have to have a burden in your life, young person. You've got to have a burden for what God wants to do in your life. You've got to be compelled and driven, amen, to the point where you're going to move forward. You're going to move away from the sins of this life. I don't want to live like that anymore. God's got a greater purpose for me. Praise the Lord. If you don't know how to get those sins removed from your life and how to get those burdens removed, it's right there behind me. Acts 2:38 says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission. That's the payment and removal of your sins. God forgives you, but there's more to the story. That payment's got to be applied to your life through the remission of sins. And then it says, And ye shall receive. God's taking away those burdens. But you're going to receive something. You're going to receive a burden from the Lord. You're going to receive a yoke from the Lord. You're going to come under the direction and the teaching of the Spirit of God. And He says it's His rest. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We feel the freedom in Jesus. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. However, that freedom is not a license to do whatever you want. No, no, no. Galatians 5:13 puts it like this. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but look at this, by love, serve one another. There is something that God wants to do in your life. It's going to be a service to Him, and it's going to be a service to everyone around you. Hallelujah. We're loose from that burden of sin. Romans 6:1 says, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. He's going to give you a new way to walk, a new way to talk, a new way to do things. Amen. He's going to give you purpose. He's going to give you great peace. He's going to give you rest. But He's also going to give you something to do for His kingdom. Because we're supposed to be used for a greater purpose. A greater purpose. 2 Corinthians 3:18. This is the next verse after that verse about the Spirit of the Lord being liberty. Look at this. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Yes, God is interested in transforming your life. He's removing that burden of sin, but He's giving you something to do. Amen. We're partakers of His glory. There's a weight to glory. There's a weight. I don't know if you saw this, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when you read through this, you're thinking about all the great things that God's given you. But pay attention. There's a weight to glory. There's a little bit of a burden that comes with glory. Yes. How do you think that you're going to receive that glory unless something gets placed upon your life? 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Jump down to verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. And Paul goes down through the list of things that he had to endure. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was imprisoned. Just like Jeremiah, he came under the onslaught of the enemy trying to stop his life from being used of God. But he says, all things for the Corinthians are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You want that yoke to be easy? You want that burden to be light? You've got to have the Spirit of the Lord renewing you every single day. Hallelujah. We're not going to be tired. We're not going to be weary in well-doing. For we shall reap if we faint not. But look what he says, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I just say that the burden of the Lord, the yoke of the Lord, it's just the weight of His glory. It's just the weight of the glory He wants to put in your life. Hallelujah. You might think, oh, this is a struggle. This is difficult. But it's glory. He's allowing you to fellowship with His sufferings. He's allowing you to be used for a purpose. Praise the Lord. Verse 18 says, while we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Oh yes, this burden, it's not seen. You don't see me carrying around a big heavy rock or something. No. It's a burden for your heart. It's a burden for your mind. Amen. It's a burden that God places in your spirit. Hallelujah. In your soul. Amen. And if I lost you at burdens and yokes, and you don't have a burden in your life for the things of God, you need to know Him more. You need to get into God's presence more often. You need to get into the Word of God more often. I think it's impossible to be in the presence of God or read the Word of God without Him impressing something in your life. I hunger for the times when I get into the presence of God and He begins to communicate to me and to convey and to impress on me the burden that He has, amen, for my life. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, grant us a burden. God, we want to get in Your presence. Can we pray right now? God, I want to see things the way that You see them, Lord. God, give me Your eyes. Give me Your eyes to see, Lord Jesus. God, I want to have a heart, God, after what You have, Lord Jesus. I want to have compassion the way that You have, Lord God. Oh, Lord, help me to get into Your presence through prayer, through reading the Word. Lord, help me to hunger, Lord God, for this easy yoke and this light burden, oh God. Help me, Lord Jesus, to understand what you would have me do. Hallelujah, God. Oh, I need You, Jesus. I need You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, God. Oh, place this burden in my life, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I know that so many times preachers could get up and say, you need this and you need that. Amen. And I'm here to say, you need a burden. You need the burden of Jesus in your life. But I'm also here to tell you exactly what that burden looks like and how you can take that burden upon you. This is, of course, just a few among the many ways that Jesus would impart a burden to you. So, yes, there's more. But I want to show you the first one is to have a burden to grow. Have a burden to grow spiritually, personally. Amen. And this just comes from knowing the Lord more. Jesus Himself, as God, He didn't grow any. But as a man, the Bible says that He grew in wisdom and in stature. So we need to grow in wisdom and in stature. Praise the Lord. If you know Him more, you will know that I'm not there yet. I've got to grow more. I need something more in my life. Amen. Psalm 1 likens us to a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bring forth the fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. How do you get this burden to grow? Your delight, verse 2, Psalm 1, 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. If you'll just meditate on the Word of God, you will want to grow. Praise the Lord. This is practical. I want to grow in the kingdom of God. And in advancing to the next level, it makes it necessary to venture into some unfamiliar places. And you have to confront some experiences that are new, totally new areas in your life. But one can't stay stagnant and expect to reach the next level. It doesn't work that way. To be fluid and to grow, you have to put it first. Growth has to be the first thing in your life. I've got to grow. I need to grow. I have a hunger to grow. And growth is not just beneficial, it's imperative. I remember my business psychology professor at Three Rivers. He worked for ESPN or Disney, and it was really a cool experience going into his class. Although I didn't like the fact that he taught something completely different from the book, but the test was from the book. I was never prepared. Hallelujah. But because I didn't read the book at that time, I just thought, oh man, it's not. But he said, if a business doesn't grow, it will die. If a business doesn't keep growing, it will die. It's just common. If you don't keep growing, you get stagnant. You could be like a stagnant pool that just becomes like a swamp that's got all the bacteria, and you're just toxic, and you've got to keep growing. Amen? Say, I need to grow. It's imperative to grow. And change is not merely recommended, it's essential. To fulfill God's plan in our lives, we cannot remain as we are. We must actively embrace growth and willingly undergo the transformative process of being stretched. Our desire should be to add to our faith. Add to our faith. Never be comfortable being stuck where you are. If at the end of a service you don't feel like you've been stretched, you might not be growing. If some of this stuff that I've been speaking didn't go over your head and you had to grasp for it, that's okay. You're in a growth process. You're not going to get everything every single time. But that doesn't mean, oh, I didn't get nothing from reading the Bible today. I'm not going to read it tomorrow. No, no, no. Read it tomorrow. Go to it with more prayer. God, open my understanding. Help me to be aware of what You're trying to speak into my life. God, help me to add to my faith. Amen. I'm not going to read it all, but 2 Peter chapter 1 talks about adding to your faith. Adding to your faith. Give diligence to doing that. Amen. And there's a building process. You got to add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and the patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness charity. You can see the stretching process, the building process. There's more that God wants to do in you and through you. He's got a yoke to place on your life so that you will move forward. He's got a burden so that His vision will be fulfilled in your life. He says, verse 8 is what I want to focus on. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 10, he says, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Amazing. And yet so many times we neglect to grow. Stretch ourselves. God, bring me up a little bit higher. Help me to get to the next level. I told you this was practical. We need to grow. Amen. Somebody say it again. I need to grow. I need to grow. Hallelujah. The good thing for us is that we grow in grace and in the knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18, he says this later on in the same book. But grow in grace. I could just stop there and preach the whole message. Grow in grace. The word grace is so often misunderstood. People will say, I'm saved by grace. Okay. Well, what does that mean to you? Well, they say, well, I have the unmerited favor of God. Unmerited favor. That's the popular definition of grace. Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. You hear it all the time. I was talking to one of the ministers that I know, and I asked him a question. It's not too long ago. I said, what does grace mean to you? He said, unmerited favor. I said, have you ever looked up the definition in the Bible dictionary? You ever looked up the definition of the word grace in the Strong's in the original Greek? And the term means the influence of God. You can go back and listen to this again. The influence of God on your heart and its reflection in your life. There's two components to grace. God's done everything He needed to do on the cross to give us grace. It's how are we going to respond to what He's done? How am I going to reflect God's light in my life? Praise the Lord. Without the sun, the moon does not shine. It does not reflect. God's already shining. We can't be hiding and trying to stay away from what God wants to reflect in our life. If you say, I'm saved by grace, but you're constantly under the influence of other things, and other things in your life take precedence over the things God is trying to teach you, ma'am, sir, you're not under grace. Let God teach you. Let the Spirit of the Lord come upon you. And let that reflection of what God wants to do, that transforming power of the Spirit of God, be reflected in your life. Amen. That was worth the price of admission, I promise you. So many years I thought, grace is just how I feel when I realize that God has been so good to me. And all that did was dodge responsibility of me actually allowing God to transform me. You've got to yield to Him. You've got to come under the yoke and under the burden of the Lord, what He puts in your heart. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. That was burden number one, right? The second one is you've got to have a burden for the lost. You got to have a burden for the lost. There is a judgment day. There's a judgment day coming. Saints and sinners will be divided. And some will be cast into the lake of fire. Most will be cast into the lake of fire. But there will be some that are saved. And those are the ones, those lost. Every single time that a lost person comes to faith and to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Every time someone gets a revelation of who He is. Every time somebody follows Acts 2:38 and responds and obeys the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've taken another sinner out of the lake of fire and placed them in a heavenly kingdom. Jeremiah, this is again, I give you another sample of how Jeremiah was such a weeping prophet. But here it goes. Jeremiah 25:33. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Wow. You know, for something like that to happen, the entire society would have to be wiped out. Wow. That's pretty stark. If one kingdom went into another kingdom and just destroyed everything, there wouldn't be anybody to have a funeral. And on Judgment Day, there won't be anybody to lament the lost. There won't be anyone to have a funeral for the lost. There won't be anyone to gather and pray for the lost. There won't be anybody like Sister Brown every week says, pray for the backsliders. One day, my friend, there won't be anybody praying for the lost. And Jeremiah says, howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principal of the flock, for the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. That just smote my heart. Am I praying enough for the people that drive by me every single day? For the people that I talk to on my Zoom calls? For the people that I teach? For the people that I work with? For the people I help? Am I praying enough? Am I calling on God to intervene on their behalf? You've got to get a burden for the lost. And look what Jesus did. Jesus, He came to them. And like a sheep having no shepherd, He saw that Israel was lost. I don't think I gave you the verse, but Jesus came and He saw that they were hungry before He fed the 5,000. He saw that they were thirsty. And it says that He wept and He was moved with compassion. If you know and have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will weep for the lost. You'll see people lost and dying in their sins. And you'll be terribly moved. God, do something to reach that person. I wonder if we can lift up our voices here. For the lost of New London County. For the lost of the state of Connecticut. Somebody get a burden for the lost today. Lord, my neighbors are lost. God, my co-workers are lost. They don't all know You, Jesus. They don't all understand what You've done for them, Lord. God, give me a burden for the lost. Oh, Lord Jesus, give me special insight and understanding about what is needed to speak to them, God. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord Jesus, as a church body, be loving towards the lost, God. Be compassionate towards the lost. Oh, Lord Jesus, to not just let the lost go headlong into a lake of fire and of judgment. Oh, Lord Jesus, give me a word every day, God. Hallelujah, to reach the lost. Oh, come on, this is the purpose of the church. This is why Jesus didn't just rapture you out of here after He gave you the Holy Ghost. It's because your neighbors and your friends and your family members, they need You. They need God. They need You to step in. If you're not praying for them, who will? If you're not calling on God for their behalf, who's going to call on Him? Hallelujah. Why don't we stand right now? Stand all over this place and reach your hands. I know many of the words that I've spoken are falling on deaf ears, but I had to preach this. God said to preach the burden. Preach the burden. God, there are lost, dying people in the world. And Lord Jesus, You want to save them. You want to save them, Lord God. Lord, it's a sobering time. Lord Jesus, yes, I know that I'm coming like Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Oh God, I know that this isn't some kind of uplifting and joyful thing, Lord God, to come under a burden. But Lord, it should be easy. It should be light, God. We have the truth. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. And God has given us a calling, a holy calling to reach the lost. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Jesus, we praise You. Jesus, we love You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Oh, I love You, Jesus. Oh, I praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah, God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. The last burden I want to talk about, and this goes right along, is a burden for the church, for the household of faith, the house of God. We've got to have a burden for the work of the Lord. Nobody else is going to do the things that you can do for God in this place. Amen. And the Bible says in Galatians 6:2, we got to bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's a joy to see the impact that I can have on my brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's a joy when I come into the house of God. It was so good to see the Waldrons today and their family. It's so good to see this new family this morning. Amen. It's so good to see, Brother Tristan, is that your sister? That's your mom. Oh my goodness, you're young. Sorry. Wow. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's supposed to be a compliment. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But it's so good to see new faces because it represents new opportunities to care for one another and to bear one another's burdens. Hallelujah. There's something that you can do for another person in this church that no one else can do. And that's just a joy. There are things in the church that you can do that no one else can do quite like you can do them. Praise the Lord. Amen. But we're to love the church. Love the church. Amen. This should be a passion of ours. A passion to see God move. And I can't let a service happen without me being there. I can't let a service go by without me serving in some way. We call this service. Amen. And it's not service for pastor to get up here and preach for a little while. No, no, no. It's for us to serve one another and to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So today I'm asking you to be a blessing to someone else. Amen. Today I'm asking you to, they covet your prayers. Cover them with your prayers. Cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Show that they love, that you love them. 1 John 3:14. And we're almost done. We're going to come here in a moment and pray one for another. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let us love indeed in what we do, and truly let us love. Praise the Lord. Do you love one another? It's not just in your words. It's not just in what we say, not just in how we express ourselves, but it's in what we do. And so just here at the end, can we come together? Can we come here in the right up here at the front? My musicians can come. Come right up here. Gather here in the front. Amen. We're going to pray for one another. Jesus said, come and learn of me. If you're weary, and we're exhausted sometimes, if it's hard, if life has been hard on you, if you've faced uncertainty, if you've faced division, if you face some of the things that Jeremiah had to face, ridicule, Jesus says, come to me. This is such a wonderful statement that shows us the heart of our Lord. Come on. If you can come, if you're not afraid to get sick, or if you're not sick, come on. Come on. We love one another. Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid to come. Wonderful statement. Come to me. Jesus said, come to me. Trust in me. Trust in me. I'll give you exactly what you need. I'll give you exactly what your specific situation, what your specific condition requires. Are you weary? Here, have rest. You can't help yourself? Here's the strength you need. You don't have anything to bring? Here. Here's everything you need in me. Hallelujah. Trust me. Trust me to do for you just what you need. Jesus is saying, trust me without reservation. Trust me to do what you need without having doubt. Trust me. I have everything you need. You might have gone to others, and now you have trust issues, but no matter. I know others have failed you. Jesus knows others have failed you. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. What Jesus has put in your life has given you righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. It's the burden, amen, that He gives you is purpose. He gives you purpose. Amen. What He gives us will bring us fulfillment. Amen. The more He has made you free from the burden of sins, the more He will require of you. Amen. Because it's not really, Brother Andre, it's not really me carrying the burden. It's the burden carrying me. It's not because of something I had done. Brother Josiah, it's because we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God's the one doing the work in you. He's letting you take part in it. Hallelujah. Can we close our eyes together? Lord, I want to pray a prayer of faith upon you. Over you, Jesus, right now, Lord. Help us to trust you, Lord. Help us to seek your face, God. Help us, Lord, to yield to your promises, oh God. Oh Lord, they're not always the things we expect. They're not always the things that we think we need, God. But Lord, you have our best interest, and your purpose is greater, Lord God, than anything we can imagine, Lord. And God, you are able to do it. You're able, Lord God, but not just able. You are willing, Lord Jesus. Oh God, to give to us, Lord, exceeding great and precious promises, oh God. Oh Lord, if we'll seek to know you, oh God, if we'll seek to open our heart and our understanding to you, Lord, oh God, we call upon you right now, Lord Jesus. impart to this people, O God, to this wonderful church here in Montville, Connecticut, Lord. Apostolic Lighthouse, we love you, God. We're not trying to avoid the burden, O God. We're not trying to avoid the yoke, Lord. We embrace, Lord God, what you want to do in our life, O God. We embrace your promises, God. We embrace your direction, O God. O Lord Jesus, put that yoke upon me, Lord God. That easy yoke, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Help it to compel me, Lord God, to new heights, Lord Jesus. To new levels, O God, of understanding. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I pray this prayer for each and every weary soul, Lord God. I pray this prayer for everyone that's been exhausted by the things of the world. I pray this prayer for everyone that's been confused, Lord God, and without direction in their life, Lord Jesus. God, give us purpose, clear purpose today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, now you get the opportunity to care one for another. Why don't you find somebody, two or three people, just to pray. Put your hand on their shoulder and just pray, God, bless their life. Oh, God, help them, Lord Jesus. Come on, especially our young people. God, hallelujah, Jesus.